Welcome to Picnic Climbers, a podcast for those who love getting outside,
going on epic adventures,
or chill ones,
and don't take themselves too seriously. Join us, Nate and Mo,
as we share our escapades into the great outdoors.
And don't forget the beer, eh? Hello, Picnic Climbers. Hope you guys are doing well today. We are back for another episode. Monica, how are we doing today?
We're doing really well today, thank you. After a couple hours outside, walking the hills. Well, one of us was walking. What were you doing, Nathan?
I was doing a hill repeats training run, which meant that I was running up and down and up and down and up and down this one hill in Clent, which was, it was the steepest that I could find for the shortest amount of distance. Happened to be one of the busier hills to walk up.
It's always my favorite when he does the hill training days in, like, popular hills, because the looks he gets, it's just like, what the heck is that guy doing?
Yeah, there was a group of Asian ladies who I think were commenting to themselves, chuckling to themselves about me as I went up and down past them for like the 13th or 14th time. I was like trying to do the maths in my head. I thought that surely up and down once would be 50 meters, and my goal was to do 1,000 meters of elevation, and I think I'd managed just over 500.
Yeah. Because
I was a bit optimistic with how high the hill actually was.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are like bundled up and just walking. It was quite windy to start.
Well, meanwhile, where were the rest of us?
Where were the rest of us? Getting ourselves well lost. This is becoming a repeat joke on here. I put Rowan in the wrap and set off and found myself up and along the hills that I know quite well, but it was very windy, so I was like, oh, I'll find a little trail into the forest, thinking I was just kind of skirting along the bottom of the hill, which I kind of was, but yeah, went and got myself quite lost, and then it started to rain, and Nathan's phone died, so when I tried to get him to come pick us up or come find us, because I was quite tired and I just would have rather he come and get us, he did not answer. And he texted back just enough that I thought
You didn't know my phone was dead.
I didn't know your phone was dead, and then it died, and then I was just mad.
Yeah, you're very upset.
And I totally forgot that I had the car keys. So I'm like, why isn't he just coming to pick me up? It's because I had the keys. So meanwhile, Nathan was running back and forth along the place where he thought I was, trying to find me, trying to be a hero.
I ended up stopping a couple of nice old ladies and got them to phone you from their phone. And I think they were kind of giving me these looks as soon as they heard your tone of voice, which was not best impressed. They were kind of looking at me, sort of trying to like nervously smile, and then we hung up and they said good luck. And then if you look on my Garmin GPS data, it shows you the relative pace at every point in my run. Most of my run was relatively slow, and then there is this red streak of the fastest that I've probably ever run, as I absolutely booked it from where I was talking on those ladies' phone to where Monica was impatiently waiting for me.
Nathan and I are both really easygoing, and so we like rarely, like never pretty much ever fight or get mad at each other. And so if I have a sternness in my voice, I think I just put a little fire under your butt, and you were quite sheepish when you did find me, and very sorry, but it was
all good.
Well,
I think your first words to me were, you were in the doghouse. And you were very
upset.
As I
angrily handed him my backpack. Yeah. Well, I just thought he was being silly. I thought he was basking in the sunshine by the car and just chilling and relaxing and waiting for us to catch up. Meanwhile, I had like sent him a string of texts and called him like 8 times, being like, I don't know where I am. Come get me.
No, it was, I think it's time for maybe a new phone or just a battery or something to make sure we don't get ourselves into that situation again.
Or maybe just a wife who doesn't get herself lost every time she ventures forth on her own. Anyway.
We could maybe make correct some of those errors.
Maybe,
anyway.
Maybe. But that's all's well that ends well. Day today. And we're fine. We're fine.
We are absolutely fine. We've been doing this for a little while now, isn't it? This is episode 5. We've very much been enjoying it, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're sat on opposite ends of the sofa today, shaking things up.
Ooh.
Really keeping it fresh. Yeah, I think most of the comments we've received back have been about Rowan. In episode 1, which I think says something about the quality of the content that we're that we give.
Yeah, yeah, nice podcast. I really like the baby noises.
Yeah, so no, I mean, that kind of joking aside, we've had some really lovely messages off people that we haven't spoken to for a while, or just kind of reconnecting, and it's been so fun hearing from anybody and everybody who's listened to the podcast. I mean, we kind of expected that it would be like parents and maybe grandparents who listen to us, but like, you know, over our four episodes that are out now, we've had three episodes that are out, isn't it? We've had over 300 plays.
Not bad.
Which is amazing. And I say three episodes. I know that by the time this comes out, we'll have had four episodes out, but we're recording it before the fourth episode come out because we're trying to get ahead of ourselves.
This is true.
This is true.
Which leads us to a little bit of shameless self-promotion. Sorry if you hate this. Skip forward a bit. But if you have liked our podcast and you think other people would like it as well, maybe you wouldn't mind hopping on to iTunes. Is it, or an Apple Podcast?
Apple Podcasts, yeah.
You can't really leave reviews on Spotify. I know a lot of people listen on Spotify, but if you don't mind going onto Apple Podcasts and leaving us minimum a rating would be great. but we do love reviews, and reviews help other people find the podcast as well. So if you think that some random person that doesn't know us would like to listen to it, then maybe you would do that, and we would appreciate it very much. If you screenshot your review and send it to us on Picnic Climbers at Instagram, we'll send you a selfie back.
Well, one of the other things that I've heard other podcasts do when they were just starting out is they promise to read out any five-star review that is read. I don't know, I'm not committed to that, but it is a ploy.
A ploy,
and you know, this can be like love messages to your friends or things that you think it would be funny for us to read out.
There you go.
On a podcast.
Wow, we're just bribing. Even if you hate it,
it takes.
If you want to be featured, now this is your way in. Okay, get that out of the way.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, it's true though, isn't it? It's just like the more ratings and reviews there are, the more legit the podcast looks. and so we're looking to deceive as many people as we possibly can. Anyway, what are we talking about today, Manu?
Well, we're talking about a funny topic. The title of the episode, as you probably know already, is What We Hate About the Outdoors. So to preface this, if for some reason this is the first podcast you've listened to.
First episode,
that you've listened to of our podcast. We love the outdoors. That's what the podcast is all about. We love getting outside. We're big fans. We try to do it as often as we can. We both have a myriad of outdoor sports and activities that we like to do. But
there are things that we hate about the outdoors.
Yes, there are.
So Monica, why don't you go first? What do you hate about the outdoors?
Okay, well, pretty much I hate a few things about the outdoors, but it can all be kind of pinpointed to one phenomenon that is quite common and dreadful nonetheless,
particularly in the places where we've spent most the time outdoors.
Yes, that is true. And this phenomenon, this miraculous event that occurs, is called rain.
Ah. Yes. Il pleut.
I hate rain. I do, and I've tried many times over the years to think of it as like melancholy and kind of cozy and lovely and like, oh, it's raining out, let's try to make myself like it by putting on some sleepy music and lighting a candle and getting cozy and reading a book by the window. And I just hate it. I always do.
You cannot stand it.
No.
It doesn't matter if you're outside in it, you're inside and you're looking at it, hate it.
Yeah, it's just gross. Why? It's water falling from the sky. Which sounds nice, actually, because I like waterfalls and I like swimming and I like a lot of things that rain does, as in makes beautiful plants grow.
So what tends to happen to you? Okay, no, let me start with this. How does rain make you feel?
Just miserable. It makes me feel sad and depressed, and not like, oh, cute, sad, staring out the window, like in a movie montage sad, but just like, ugh, this sucks. Everything sucks. I'm grumpy.
Okay, so when you are out in the rain, what do you tend to do? How does your actions change?
I pretty much do not become enthusiastic, fun-loving self that I normally am. No. I get so grumpy. I get really grumpy, and I get a short temper and a short fuse, and I get mad at everybody, including myself. And it's just, I spiral, man.
I end up kind of nervously hopping around you.
You are afraid to ask me questions, even if it rains. Like, I if you listen to our last podcast about running, it rains a lot during the training for the ultra, and I would just be so grumpy and just also often get mad at you for even just suggesting that we get outside in the rain. Yet I realized that we live in England, which is probably one of the most rainy parts of the world, and we went to university in Vancouver, which is another very rainy part of the world. I get it. And you'd think that all that experience in the rain would make me like it.
Well, you told me in the past that you didn't own a raincoat until you were 18.
That's
and
true.
Went to university because you grew up in a very dry part of the country.
Yeah, I grew up in a very tiny town in the interior where it would be like sunshiny and warm or sunshiny and snowy. And then the only time it was really super cloudy was when it was snowing or the odd thunderstorm in the summer, which was so rare and exciting and fun that most of the time we'd like go put our bathing suits on and jump on the trampoline because we're like, whoa, rain, thunderstorm, so fun. I know that's not the safest, but anyway, it was fun. Yeah, so rain was very foreign to me, really. And then we went on a Europe trip in high school and I had to buy a rain jacket. And I was like, why? Why do I need a rain jacket? We're going in the spring. This is silly. But anyway, Europe was rainy. And then Vancouver was very rainy. In my first day at university, I was spent running around in the absolute pouring, drenched rain. It was so wet. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, I do not like rain. And the outdoors are often rainy.
So something you just got to deal with. There was a particular, I can't say it as a moment, but there's a particular trip or hike that we did in New Zealand where we were traveling around there. And there was this one hiking trip that we did there, which must be about 3 years ago now. Mm. And afterwards, you used the dramatic phrase. You told me that trip broke you a little bit, or that particular hike broke you a little bit.
I'm nothing if I'm not dramatic.
So I think that we need to hear a little bit more about this hike that broke you. Give us a little bit of a background. Give us a little bit of a kind of, yeah, some of the facts around it, and then walk us through the trip.
Is absolutely infamous. This will probably come up in numerous episodes because it was just a crazy trip for so many reasons and not fun for so many reasons, but I will stick with the first and major reason, which was it rained the entire time and it was such crazy rain. Okay, yeah, so it was the longest hike we've ever done.
What was it called and how long was it? Like, yeah,
here we go. Okay, so we were in New Zealand, we were on the South Island, we had done a bunch of climbing, and we were like, okay, we've done a lot of climbing, let's do a big circular circuit hike. We've heard about all these huts. New Zealand's got an amazing backcountry hut network, which we will talk about later, and we wanted to get into some of these and see some of the beautiful mountains. So we were in Nelson Lakes National Park, and we did this circuit called the Traverse Sabine Circuit, which featured one of the most famous huts in the area for night one, and then it was kind of four more nights.
It was 5 nights in total.
Yes,
4 more nights, 6 days. It was an 80-kilometer loop.
Yeah,
that went over kind of the top end of it, a large 2,000-meter pass.
Yeah, and we looked at the brochure, and it was meant to be gorgeous, like the waterfalls everywhere and beautiful lush hillsides and craggy mountains and just deep in this beautiful national park. It was stunning. And so we set out the first day. Now we checked at the station, like the park center, I guess, and the weather looked bad. The forecast was bad, but New Zealand's such a tiny country and like you're never that far from the coast that weather reports are often super variable and super not
changeable.
Yeah, just changeable. So they could say anything. We just kind of learned to not trust them. Also, we had big plans for our traveling around New Zealand. So we'd never stayed in one place long. So what that meant is if it was raining or it was sunny, if you were there, you kind of just tried to do the best because you wouldn't be there for long. We never stayed out the rain. So anyway, we were like, it doesn't matter. It'll probably be fine. Looks fine now. Let's pack up. Let's just go.
It can't be that bad.
it can't be that bad. It can't be that bad.
And we love hiking.
Yeah, exactly.
And we love being outdoors.
It's going to be gorgeous. And we can handle a little rain. We're tough. So the first day was, like, when we started, it was so, so cloudy. But we hiked up, up, up to this big ridge. And we got above the clouds. And so you couldn't see anything below. But you could just see a sea of clouds below. And it was really, really cool. I mean, not the views that we would have wanted, but it was still dry. It was still nice. It was cool. And then the hut was in this massive valley. So we pretty much walked along the ridgeline forever and then down a valley to a little hut at a lake in the bottom with, like, big mountains completely surrounding it. It was gorgeous. So we hiked down. I had to go to the bathroom so bad. The last 2 kilometers, man, painful. Anyway, we got to the hut. It was nice. We tried to go out and see the lake, but by then it was just raining and the fog was completely rolling in. Like, there was no view. You couldn't even see the lake, which it was pretty much on the edge of the lake. So it was fine. We thought it was fine. We'll play games. We'll make our meal. It was a really busy hut. It was big. Probably slept 30, 50.
Yeah.
A bunch. And so there's lots of people from different parts of the world. So it was really fun to just catch up and hear people's stories. Had a nice night. Got up early the next day. And kind of we're like, should we carry on or should we turn back? It's pouring outside. And we're like, nah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So we carry on. And it was so wet. It was just so wet. And so the second day was this massive descent to start with. And then kind of up and downs and up and downs. And it just poured the whole time. There was crazy waterfalls. Within the first few kilometers, we came across a party. And one of them had slipped and really hurt herself. And there was a helicopter on the way.
Yeah.
So we made sure she was okay. She was with a few friends. So we just carried on. But then...
Yeah, well, the helicopter, it was having trouble getting to
as
well, right?
Because it was so foggy.
Because of the clouds.
Yeah.
And it just kind of went around and around and around a bit. And eventually it was able to get in and get them.
Yeah. And it was beautiful, like the waterfalls and surrounding area, but we couldn't see anything. Anyway, it was wet. I was unhappy. I slipped and fell on a big rock and hurt my elbow really badly, like cut it and just super bruised. So that was quite sore.
Also, I think you found the terrain harder than you were expecting.
It was harder,
like it was certainly not nice trail all the way. It was very, very difficult walking as well.
Yeah, it was very, like, you're always stepping up and over and around and it wasn't kind of a nice plod along trail, which a lot of the other trails that we'd already done were. Actually, at one point we came across another couple and she was crying into a shoulder and we kind of just politely skirted past. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I feel you, girl. I feel you. I think she's having a hard time too. It was awful. Anyway, it was just wet the whole time. And then we got to the hut and thankfully we took all our clothes off and hung them up and changed our pajamas immediately, or our just our second outfit, not actual pajamas. But and then the next day we got up and it was pouring rain and socked in and absolutely cloudy, and we carried on and it just never lifted and it was so muddy. And that there was a 20 minute period on one of the days that the rain stopped, and I'm pretty sure I just threw my backpack down. I'm like, oh my goodness, baby, it's over. But then the bugs just came out and we were surrounded in flies, and 20 minutes later it started again. And so I think I cried after that. But yeah, it was just kind of head down, rain jacket on, still got soaked because of where your backpack straps were kind of pressing into your shoulders. And just, I didn't have rain trousers or anything. So, like, our legs were completely soaked. After a while, we weren't even being careful crossing the rivers because our boots were soaked. We were just wet through. Sitting down for lunch was miserable, so we just wouldn't stop. We would just kind of...
Well, you wouldn't want... Well, I would try to. And this is when Monica was in misery mode. And
Misery mode is a very fast hiker.
You would not stop whatsoever.
Like, head down, I want to get to the hut.
Yeah, New Zealand, all of their signs have, like, distance to the, like, they got a lot of signs on the trails, distance to the next hut, and then they give you the approximate time to get to the next hut. And Monica was absolutely smashing those distances.
supposed to take us that on your birthday? It was meant to be, it was, I like, 7 to 11 hours.
I think it was 6 to 11. Yeah,
depending on, like, which direction you were heading.
Well, no, it was more just the big variation was because sometimes the conditions can be really bad. It was going over the pass. So it was 6 to 11 hours. You climb, I think we went up something like 300 or 400 meters, and then just, like, you come 1,000 meters down the other side, and then it's still quite a ways.
And that's when it was supposed to be, like, the most beautiful views, like, panoramic, just amazing. And we did it in 4.
I think we did it very fast.
Very fast. Because we just, like, had we had views, we might have stopped and had a picnic and taken photos and enjoyed it. It was just, head down hiking. And I think that was the biggest disappointment, is because it was renowned for the views and it was just cloudy and miserable the entire time. And I think it was the hardest hike in the rain I'd ever done. And that's why I say it broke me. I was just so miserable. And I think because I didn't want to talk and I didn't want to stop. And so all the things that I loved about hiking, the views, the sunshine, the friends, the picnics, all those lovely things. And it was just so much from let's get to the next hut, getting from point A to point B, and it was a loop, so we couldn't just kind of turn around or get to the nearest car park. We had to just keep going, and that's why. And I think in my own head, or in my own my own perception of myself, was always, I love to be outside, I'm tough, I had some very tough winters growing up, I used to work at a mill and in negative 20 or whatever, and I was fine, and I kept up with everybody, and it was just, all of a sudden, I was hating doing this activity that I loved. So it just kind of was confusing for me and shook my identity as an outdoors woman a little bit.
Yeah, which is tough.
Yeah. Also, you were trying to be so chipper, and I was so angry that you weren't having a hard time. And you were trying to cheer me up.
I think I was trying to do the complete opposite, wasn't I?
Yeah.
You're upset, so I'll be really happy, and then my optimism will bring you out of this dark place.
Which it might have in other scenarios, but I was just mad at him. I was like, he's perfect. He's doing this and not struggling or suffering at all, and I hate my life.
If you remember, there was one other thing which was adding to the stress of the trip that we hadn't really thought of ahead of time. So this was our first time actually using New Zealand's huts. And I'm going to go into the huts in a moment. And our experience of kind of campgrounds and things before was from Canada, where all of the backcountry toilets, about the kind of the pit toilets, the portaloos, which are just a hole in the ground with a toilet seat on top, with a pit. Our experience before had been that they had toilet paper in them.
Mm.
So we took a little bit, just
kind of like kind of emergency stash.
We realized on night one of this 5-night trip that none of the toilets would have toilet paper in. So that, I think, added to stress levels.
Yes. Well, yeah, I wasn't going to talk about that one this time, but now that you mention it,
go for it. Get it all out there. This is your healing. This is your, pour your heart out
listeners. Okay. To the 50 listeners, let me just let you in on a little secret. So we started rationing immediately as soon as we realized, and if anyone left 4 squares, we snatched those babies up, man. But day 2, day 3 I got my period. And did I have anything? Was I prepared?
No,
I was not. And so if any of you ladies have experienced anything like this before, you will know that this was not a fun time. We had no toilet paper and I had my period.
Yeah.
It was awful. I think I've made you, there was a hut warden in one of the huts, night 3 or something, beg some paper towel off of him or something. You asked for toilet paper. He didn't even have any.
No.
And so we kind of asked a few people we met here and there, if we saw that they had a full roll or whatever, we kind of would just beg a bit here and there. But yeah, so that probably was also one of the reasons I was so miserable. I was uncomfortable, which is, I think, most of what stems from why we hate the outdoors is just it's harder to be comfortable.
Yeah, it is.
And if you're uncomfortable, you're not going to have a good time.
There were two things that kind of redeemed that trip a little bit, though, wasn't it?
There was.
The huts. Mm. I mean, the fact that we could have a log fire every night and dry our clothes made it a little bit more bearable, because we knew that, once we get there, we can get the fire going, we can warm ourselves up. And so that made it slightly more bearable.
And to be fair, we knew that was coming, and we knew, and that was one of the reasons why we're like, oh, well, we'll just go and hope that the weather gets better.
Yeah.
I think day 2, because there was... that first hut, there was just another path that would lead us back to the car park. And so we thought, if it's absolutely terrible, we can just come back. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to book any of the huts, so we wouldn't have lost anything. So we had that decision of that morning of shall we carry on? Shall we? And so in our heads, we're like, well, that hut was amazing. We could make a fire, dry out. we don't need to set up a tent. We will get dry every night. If we were tenting, it would have been straight back to the car, I think.
Yeah, oh, I think you're absolutely right.
So that was amazing.
So that was the other thing that made that trip was the friends and actually the people that we met in all the huts. Because there was, everyone who was leaving in the morning had one destination. We were all kind of going to the same place, which was the next hut. And there were, four or five other people that were as stupid as we were and looked at the weather forecast and thought, I'll go for it anyway.
Well, some people were doing the through hike, which was pretty much there's a hike called the Te Aroha, which goes from the top of New Zealand, North Island, to the bottom of New Zealand, South Island. And this trail is on the route. So some people would just do a few legs of that. And they were very fast. And normally they left before us and we never saw them again. And then there was a few people going in the opposite direction of us. So we would just meet them at the hut. But yeah, we made some good friends that we actually met up with.
During the day, and then we see them in the hut that night. And then we saw them later on the trip as well.
It was good. And I think those were the easier moments when we had more of us because we could all chat and I could listen to them chatting together. And even if I wasn't up for much, I could kind of bounce off of their enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But I think I still complained and had my head down more than usual.
Well, yes. No, absolutely. Yeah, I think in some ways you're almost embarrassed to hike with people.
I was, because I was so miserable, and normally that's not me, and so I think...
Yeah, can anybody imagine Monica not happy, bouncing around, chipper and joyful? Like, you know, it's crazy.
It was probably my most sad. Well, my most sad doing something that was fun and happy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, life events.
And that's why I broke you.
It broke my spirit a little bit in the outdoor lover capacity. Mm. Yes, it did.
Sad days.
And Nathan's birthday was on that trip, which I think we should talk about later because he had the craziest hut birthday. It was really goofy. But anyway, he turned 24 on that trip. Nathan.
Yes.
What do you hate about the outdoors?
The thing that I hate more than anything else about the outdoors is the cold. I cannot stand it. And I don't deal well with it.
Mowing the rain is Nate in the gold.
I find that my extremities go very numb very quickly. And just not having a good time once I get cold. I'm actually quite happy in the rain. Like I really don't mind the rain. As long as I know that I can get dry, I'm quite happy with it. But if it's cold, then I'm not very happy. My worst experience of all time was Christmas a few years ago. We were in Saskatchewan, which is where Mo's parents live. This is the first time for me being in Saskatchewan in the winter. And Saskatchewan gets very, very cold temperatures. I think they had a relatively mild winter this year and it was only about negative 20. I had never experienced negative 20 before, whereas Monica's whole side of the family had grown up with negative 20 being a relatively decent winter's day. And, you know, you don't really start complaining until it gets to negative 30 or colder. And so it was, you know, family activity. We're all going to go cross-country skiing for the day. And I thought, you know, I'll be brave. I'll put on all these clothes.
We all lent Nathan our warmest things. So you were wearing my dad's coat, my mom's gloves, somebody's, what is it called, balaclava thing?
Yeah.
Like one of those hats that comes all the way down your face and your neck. And it has like two holes for your eyes and one hole for your mouth.
Yeah. And at first I was like, you know what, this is okay. Like negative 20, like I can handle this. Like,
and then you stepped outside.
This isn't too bad. No. For the first little bit, I was like, negative 20, I can handle this. I'm all right. And it was maybe about 10 or 15 minutes in. And we weren't going out for very long. I think the plan was to be out for a few hours, no more than that. But like, I started going.
Yeah, this was not a 5-day trip.
No, I started, like my toes started going numb. My hands started going numb. I felt like I was freezing from the outside in. My nose was hurting. My ears hurt. Like I was.
He stopped talking. And I kept I've never been worried about him before. Like I was worried about him that day. You okay, honey? Like, you having fun? No.
But I was with my parents-in-law, and I was with my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, who's just the kind of the most hardy
redneck Canadian
outdoors. Like just loves being outdoors, loves being
cold.
So
my brother was like in a t-shirt and gloves, I think.
Yeah.
He kept like stripping layers and was like, oh, it's warm, and kind of plowing on. And Nathan,
So I had to, I felt like I had to put on this brave face, but I was having a harder and harder time.
You did not fool anyone. Doing it.
And oh my goodness, I just couldn't, yeah, I was not having a good time. And so it carried on. Also, I think I was on cross-country skis for the first time. And like, I'm a snowboarder, not a skier. And so I was struggling on the skis as well and just really didn't know what I was doing.
No.
And everyone else was having a great time, really enjoying
it.
It was beautiful. The sun was out. Like, yeah, you guys were having a great time. And there I was shuffling along, like just wishing that like a bolt of lightning would strike me from the earth.
Poor Brit stuck in the middle of Canada. Icy winter's day. We gave him a cup of tea and put him in the hot tub and he was fine.
Yeah, I eventually warmed up, but it definitely took a while.
There was much convincing to get you out again, but yeah. So we will not be moving to the interior of Canada. I think I might lose my husband. Yeah, so those are kind of the things that we hate about the outdoors. And it all comes down to weather a little bit, doesn't it? Which brings us to discuss this funny quote that we found out who we think said it originally, which is Ranulf Fiennes, Sir Ranulf Fiennes, who's an outdoorsman and has led lots of epic things. Anyway, I'm sure you'll all have recognized some form of it. It's there's no such thing as bad weather, only inadequate clothing, or no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothes, something like that. We kind of agree with this, don't we?
Yeah.
Why do we agree?
Well, it's because when we're uncomfortable, we don't have fun. So if we're wet and we're cold, we're not going to enjoy it. And there are things that we can do to make sure that we stay dry and stay warm. And that's just having a good raincoat or a good insulating layer.
Yeah, it's just gear can make the difference. Gear can make all the difference between enjoying a stormy day versus not. I think the most clear example I've ever seen of this was when I took a bunch of year sixes, so 11-year-olds, on a trip to the mountains in Snowdonia, and they'd never been anywhere like it before, and it was rainy, and they were very upset and thinking, oh, we can't go outside, we have to stay inside, it's miserable. And the place that we stayed just outfitted them all in these massive, like, waterproof rain trousers and these huge raincoats with massive hoods and big pockets and gloves and wellies, and tucked everything in, and it was all, like, velcroed shut so that pretty much they were rainproof. And we went out in the rain, and within a few minutes they realized that it wasn't getting to them, and soon they were like splashing through streams and running into the lakes, and we were wading up waterfalls and just having a great time. And it took them a while to get used to it, but I think once they realized that, oh, I feel okay, all of a sudden that horrible rainy day didn't matter. Even we went to the beach and it was super windy and they had a blast of a time. So that's that. Yeah, it can make all the difference.
It's also if you're passionate about it, you can put up with a lot, can't you? I mean, I just think of the stories of my dad who'd whitewater kayak in Wales in January, and they'd be stripping off in the car park, changing, absolutely freezing, but loving it because of they loved the activity.
If that's what it took to kind of get outside, then that's what you did. You clearly were not passionate about cross-country skiing. However, this, I don't think it's 100% true in all the right cases, because you can have all the thermal layers and all the waterproof layers and get out there and be super stoked to do an activity that you love, and it's just rainy and dark and windy and you can't see anything, and it still can suck. So I don't think that gear solves all the problems. There's never going to be gear that makes a rainy day in the mountains just as nice as a sunny day. You can still be okay, but I'm always going to choose blue skies. and that's fine, I think. And it's fine to say, it's raining out, I'm a fair weather outdoorsman, I'm going to stay inside today and do something different, or I'm going to climb in the gym today. I think that's okay. Anyway.
Fantastic.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, well, there's if you're, it's all about your mental state, isn't it? Your mind space. So if you are happy to get out in the rain and that's kind of what you expect, then brilliant. I think you will really enjoy it. And I think about, I've got this hilarious photo of Monica in the pouring rain in near Milford Sound in Fiordland in New Zealand. Absolutely loving it, because you expected and almost wanted the rain, because we'd heard so much about how the rain brings out the waterfalls.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't rain, you won't have the spectacular waterfalls. It was pouring with rain and you were having a great time, but you expected it. And so I guess...
Yeah. Also, I looked forward to getting to that one spot pretty much the whole trip. Like, it was, and it was the absolute highlight. Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
So yeah, so I think if you're expecting a dry day and you go out and it's rainy and the clouds have socked in the view, then it's going to be miserable. But if you're expecting it and want it to get out in the rain, then or the cold, then it can be great.
Yeah.
And that's probably a lot less profound than we'd like to end the podcast with. But there we are.
Hopefully you enjoyed those stories.
We never claim to be the most profound or knowledgeable. We just like to talk. Anyway, we love to hear from you guys. We really want to know about your stories. If there are things that you hate about the outdoors, whether they're the similar things to us or they're different things entirely, please let us know. You can write to us on Gmail. We are picnicclimbers@gmail.com. Or follow us on Instagram at Picnic Climbers. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you and get together in the outdoors when we can.
Cool. That's all for now.
Fantastic. Bye for now.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
If you enjoyed listening along, be sure to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes.
If you want to get in touch, follow us on Instagram at Picnic Climbers or email us at picnicclimbers@gmail.com.
Until next time, Picnic Climbers.